Awesome. Well, 2 weeks ago, I gave my little bit more of something challenge to us as a church. And if you're new, you're going, if you're visiting, you say, what's that about? Well, for the last 6 years, I started off every year with a challenge to do just a little bit more of something. And so we said, read your Bible just a little bit more than you have in the past. Pray a little more, give a little more, be a little more neighborly. Share your faith a little bit more and step out in faith just a little bit more. So 2 weeks ago, I gave our challenge, and it was to do something to help us to grow, just a little bit of something to help you to grow in your spiritual life, which actually leaves it quite wide open for you. And we said in order to be able to figure out what it is that God would have us to do, we need to be able to figure out where we are and where we want to go. What is it in our life, our spiritual life, that needs to be worked on so that we become more of who God wants us to be? And so we said we need to do assessment. We need to use something to help us to figure out where we are and what we need to do. And once we do that, once we make the assessment, then we make some decisions to figure out what we're going to do. So last week I said we're going to take 6 weeks to take a look at six different spiritual disciplines, not spankings. That was, remember, a whole different word. It's not that kind of discipline. But six disciplines that are important for us to put into practice in our lives to become fully mature, developed Christians. And last week we said, we looked at the first discipline, which was abiding in Christ. We said abiding, another way of translating that was to remain, to stay, to live, to stay connected to what Jesus is doing. And if you missed that, I want to encourage you, go online, go to pompeychurch.org, click on online sermons, and you can hear that sermon. So I would say it's worth listening to, and I think it'll be very, very helpful. Today we'll look at the second discipline, and the second discipline is living by God's Word. Living by God's Word. And there's a lot of different ways that we can do it. Many times, we think of God's Word only as reading, and that is definitely an important part. So I want to just kind of look at some different things that we can do with God's Word that helps us to be able to grow, and then we can take a look at where we're at. So if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. The very first thing you can do is you can spend time hearing the Word. Hearing the Word. That's a place that we can start in our devotion to the words that God has given to us, His actually words to us. And God wants His people to hear His word proclaimed. How do I know that? Well, I know that because of His word to us. I want to read a few verses. I want you to listen to what it says. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who," can you read that with me? "Hear the word of God and obey it." There's a blessing for those who do what? Who hear the word. In John 5:24, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from, what does it say? Say it with me. Hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the message. It's God's word. And one more is 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Sometimes you go, hey, why does he make us stand up and read God's Word? It's because of that very verse right there. There's something that's so powerful when we stand up together and we read God's Word together and we hear it. There's lots of other verses. You can open up your Bible and find lots of them. And as Christians, what's one of the most common ways that we can hear God's Word publicly proclaimed? You're doing it right now. You're in church. And you're staying awake during the sermon. That is a very important part as well, to be able to hear the words when we read God's Word. Now, it might be one of the easiest things to do. You don't think it's all that much, but it really is. It's very, very important. I hear some people say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church because I can take my Bible, I can go into the woods, and it's a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you, I love being in the woods. And I love at times when I've brought my Bible out and I've read. But I would say you're missing out on what God's desire is for us. God has designed us as Christians to assemble together and to be able to hear God's Word proclaimed for our strengthening, for our edification, for our growing. Another way you can do that, of course, is nowadays, take your phones out, you go online, and there are some wonderful Bible teachers, extremely gifted Bible teachers, and you can listen to their sermons. I will caution you as well, you need to be careful who you listen to. And if you have a question about somebody, you can talk to me or one of the elders, and we can give you our opinions at least, but you do need to be careful. But hearing God's Word, that's one of the very first things that you can do. Secondly, if we want to grow as Christians, we need to, and this is the one I already mentioned, we need to read God's Word, reading the Word. Now, as I read these next verses, I want you to listen and tell me what Jesus is assuming about his hearers. He's speaking to the religious leaders of the day here. I want you to listen to what the assumption is. And these are all in the Gospel of Matthew. So chapter 12, 3, he answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" Down in 19:4, "Haven't you read," reply, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" And then in verse 22, chapter 22:31, "But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to them?" So what was the question that he asked them? Have you not what? Have you not read? The assumption was what? The assumption was, because you're the religious leaders of the day, I would assume that you have read the Word, the Scriptures that they had, which was the Old Testament. He assumed because of that they would know what the Word said because they read it. The assumption is true for us. If you identify yourself as a Christ follower, if you identify yourself as a Christian, my assumption would be that you are reading God's Word, that you are getting to know Him because of your time spent in His Word. And as we know, there are, just as Jerry said, there's blessings when we give. There are blessings when we read God's Word. Listen, this is in the book of Revelation, the same book that Jerry quoted from. Revelation 1:3. "Blessed is the one who," does what? "Reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." How many of you want to be blessed by God? Can I just see a little show of hands? Easy. Here's another question. Have you read your Bible? Don't answer this one. Have you read your Scriptures yet this morning? Have you got a plan for it today? There's a blessing for those who hear, but there's a blessing also for those who read. And I would encourage you to take time to do that. Read it. And only those who discipline themselves to take time to read, because it does take discipline, will be blessed by it. In my preparation for this, I found a story written by a guy by the name of Robert Sumner, and it's in a book that he wrote, The Wonder of the World of God, and he was an evangelist and a preacher and a teacher. But the story that he recorded in this was about a man who had been severely injured by an explosion, and his face had become very disfigured. He could not see with his eyes any longer, and he lost both of his hands. And so for him, the most difficult part of it is that he had just become a Christian, and he could not read the Bible. And that was very, very hard for him. Then he heard about a lady in England who was reading Braille with her lips. And he goes, "Hey, you know what? If she could do it, I could do it." So he ordered some books of the Bible in Braille, and he tried to do it. But what he found out is that his lips had too much damage to the nerves, so he was not able to tell feel what the characters were. And he was very bummed. He was very, very bummed. But what he did one day, as he was trying, all of a sudden his tongue came out and touched the Braille. And he realized, hey, I can read the Bible with my tongue. He learned Braille. And at the time that this guy had written this book, he had read through the entire Bible 4 times with his tongue. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how much of us could say with our eyes have read the Bible 1 time through? He was committed to it. He was devoted. And I'm sure what this man did, and I would encourage you, this is how you really need to make it a part of your life. He had a very specific time every day that he got up and he read his Bible. I believe he also probably had a plan in place. Without a plan in place, I couldn't do it. I used my YouVersion Bible. I pull up. My plan this year is called Eat This Book, 1 Year Bible with Daily Psalms, 0 points on Weight Watchers. It's awesome. But Eat This Book, I pull it up and it tells me my readings. I click on it, it pops the Bible open to that chapter. I go to the next one, and when I get done, I get a little check. And that's the beginning. It's powerful. It takes discipline. I want to encourage you, take some time. If you want to learn Braille with your tongue, I'd love to hear how that goes too. All right. So we listen, we read. The next thing would be to study. And it's kind of like the next step that we take. We study the Word. Many of you have heard of Jerry Bridges. He was a Christian author. He was a speaker, and he was on staff with an organization called The Navigators. And it was their passion, their desire that we would know God's Word, and they challenged you to memorize, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But this is what he said about the importance of studying God's Word. Reading gives you breath, so it kind of gives you the big understanding. Reading gives you breath, but study gives you depth. Study gives you depth. If you simply just read through the Bible a bunch of chapters during the day, which is what I just told you I was doing, you get a great overview of the Bible. You understand what's going on. But when you slow down enough to take some time to study it, you begin to understand the purpose of the book. You understand the author. You understand the challenges and the warnings, and you understand the blessings and all those things, because the general reading just kind of goes through it. For me, it's discipline. I need to do it. But when I take time to study, there's so much more that takes place. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of digging deeper into God's Word. This is what he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." So what does that mean at the very end of that verse? You want to do it so you won't be ashamed, and so that you correctly handle the word of the truth. You know what it is? We can take God's word out of context, and we can do it in a way that's going to be damaging. Paul was speaking to Timothy in this passage, and Timothy was a young pastor. And I think it's very important that pastors and Bible teachers and Sunday school teachers are disciplined in this area of studying and not just getting a little bit of information they need to study. But that's not just for Bible teachers and for pastors. It's for every Christian. So we might strive to do as Paul said, that we might do in a way that we accurately handle his truth, because people's eternal soul are really dependent on us preaching correctly the word that God's given to us. Now, there are so many tools that are available to us nowadays. There are. You go down to our library, we have commentaries in there, we have books that just about a particular book, but there's software galore. My software makes me look so much smarter than I really am. So when you call me and you ask me a verse and I say, "Let me pray about that," and you hear, that's me clicking on my keyboard, okay? That's an honest confession right there. You can buy software. There's free software. You can download free software. You can get done reading and you can do a word study. There's so much you can have. When you say, "I want to grow deeper," I say that's on you primarily, on your shoulders to grow deeper in the Word of God. Get together with a group of people. Let me tell you this. Where I grow the most and the place I have the funnest is in my growth group. We get together. Currently, we're studying Ecclesiastes. When's the last time you studied Ecclesiastes? We're having a great time. We're laughing, we're learning, we're challenging each other. If you're not in a growth group, I would encourage you for that reason alone, so that you can study the Bible, you can do it with a group of people, and you can have a great time. I think it's powerful. One last thing. If it's so important that we study God's Word so that we can understand it, why do so many of us not do it? R.C. Sproul, who recently just passed away, a godly man, wrote tons of things. We actually have some of his material down in the library. This is what he said to the answer of why we don't do it. And this is R.C. Sproul. "Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it's difficult to understand, not so much because it's dull and boring, but because it's work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy." That's our problem. R.C. Sproul said that. I didn't say that, right? That was R.C. That's why we call it a discipline. And I want to encourage you, even if you just take 5 minutes to say, "What is going on here?" You can, and again, you can Google lots of things, great resources. Again, you want to be careful, but there's some great resources, and we can list some of those out even next week for you. Let's not be lazy. Oh, another thing, I brought this up. This is 40 Days in the Word. We did a 40-day campaign. It's from Saddleback Church. And here is all kinds of Bible study methods, how you can do it. If you say, I don't know where to start, we got a book for you. Or we can get a book for you. Or you can buy a book. All kinds of things. Okay, reading, reading, studying. The next one is memorizing the Word. Memorizing the Word. Again, another author by the name of Dallas Willard. He's kind of a very deep writer. He's an American philosopher known for his writings on spiritual disciplines and for spiritual formation. This is what he writes about Bible memorization. Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it's a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's out of Joshua 1:8. That's where you need it. How does it get into your mouth? It comes from memorization. Now, you're thinking right now, Wendell, you have no idea. My brain is like cheesecloth. Something comes in there and it goes right out the other side. I can't memorize. And I would say that's not true. How many of you know your name? That's a good question to start with. How many of you know your family's name? How many of you know your address and your telephone number and your social security number? How many of you know your spouse's birthday or should know your spouse's birthday? How many of you know the names of your friends at work or how to get to work? How do you know what to do when you get to work? Guess what? You had to learn all that. You had to memorize all that. So the problem is not the fact that we can't memorize. The problem is that memorization takes effort. It takes energy. And we'll never memorize the Word of God without working at it. We need to believe that there is something worthwhile because of it. And when we do that, we'll find that it's an easier task. But it's still going to be a task. I want to point out three quick benefits because and I can speak to every one of these in my own life personally. The first benefit of memorizing Scripture is that we might have victory over sin. I know that every single one of us, struggle with this thing called sin. That's something we'll struggle with until we go. I want you to listen to what Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11 says. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And here's what the psalmist did. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hidden. Another way of translating is treasured. Another way you could say is I've stored them up. Do you want to not sin against God? Well, according to the word, according to what God's given to us, you memorize it. Because when you're tempted, you can recall in a moment that, oh, Lord, this is something that I need to deal with and I need to run. So I need to take those scriptures that are related to the things that I struggle with and I can quote that verse. So when I'm tempted to be anxious, I can say, okay, Lord, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let my request be made known to God. And here's what I'm looking for. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, I do not want to fall in the temptation of being anxious. That verse helped me to do that. So what did Jesus do when he was tempted? He said, it is what? It is written. How do you know? Did he pull out the scroll of Deuteronomy? He said, well, let's see, it is written? No. He memorized it. So it's a great tool to help us have victory over sin. It's also a great tool to help us be able to share the gospel with people who don't know yet how much Jesus loves them. When you get to know somebody, you become friends, and all of a sudden the topic comes up, say, hey, Wendell, you're different. Be nice. You're different. What is it about you? I just see that you have peace. I see that you love Jesus. Can you tell me what that's all about? And all of a sudden you're going, oh no, what do I say? When you take time to memorize just a few verses, you can do it. You can do it with one verse, but you can do it with just a few verses. You can share the whole gospel and you can do it on a napkin. When I went to El Salvador, that was my job. For a whole week, I got to share the gospel with people. First few times, I was scared. But after I got that down and I had the verse I was going to use, it was so powerful. So I want to encourage you to memorize some of those scriptures. I think next week we're actually meeting with the team and we're going to go over the bridge illustration. And with that, there's a few verses so that you might be able to share the gospel. One more, another reason it's really, really helpful to memorize the Word is that we can encourage and counsel other believers. We can do that with our friends. Again, once you hang around people long enough and you get to be friends with them, all of a sudden, the benefit of doing that is you can start to share what you're struggling with. You can say, you know, I've been dealing with this area in my life, and I just don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you have this scripture in your mind, and someone who's struggling with not knowing if they're saved, and they've asked Christ to come in their life, and you go, you know what it says in 1 John? It says this, and this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you in order that you may know that you have eternal life. You have to wonder. You have to hope. You can know because you ask Christ into your heart. Because I know that verse, I can share that with somebody who is struggling. I hope that you memorize scriptures like that so that you can be an encouragement to your friends and to each other. Okay, moving on. Two more, and then we'll pray and have some chili. Number five is meditating on God's Word. Meditating on God's Word. What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? You just go like this. Join me. No, that's not it. That's not how you do it. Not at all. Meditation is not an emptying of your mind like New Age philosophy tells you to do. Meditation is a very active process. It's not mental passivity. It's mental activity. And all we do is we think deeply and we spend time on God's Scripture and let it kind of ruminate in our minds. And I thought maybe I could tell the story of cows who eat and it goes down and they bring it back up again and chew it to get it all out of there. But I said, I'll let Brian tell that story. But that's another story. Or you could look at it as like a cup of tea, that we're the hot water, and when you take the tea bag and you let it set in there, as compared to a quick dip and pulling it out, when you let it set in there, it pulls out all the stuff, makes a good cup of tea. And the same is what happens when we meditate. We allow God's Word to stay in our mind, and all of a sudden it starts to see things that you would never have time to see if it was just read. This is what Joshua says in Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. It was interesting when I read that story to think of that. That man did that, didn't he? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Here's another one of those promises. Then you will be, what does it say? Say it with me. Prosperous and successful. I've never met anybody who doesn't want to be prosperous and successful. Meditate day and night. I don't believe that's the success or the prosperity that the prosperity gospel preachers say. If you just give to me, then you know you're going to have all the money you need. I believe it has much more to do with being prosperous and successful in our spiritual lives, to be in a place that God wants us to be in. The psalmist says the same things and offers the exact same promise. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law, there it is, day and night. And that person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. There's the same thing of prospering. So what's the result of meditation on His Word? There's stability. You see that tree that's firmly planted. Fruitfulness, perseverance, prosperity. Those are blessings, I think, that make it worthwhile to meditate on Scripture. So maybe you're reading now. Maybe you've got a half-hour reading plan or a 15-minute reading plan. Maybe what you could do is cut off 5 minutes before you get done and just say, Lord, I'm going to meditate on this verse. I want You to help me to get everything out of this that You want for me. Help me to remember the things that You're trying to teach me. All right, one last one, which really ties it all up. Because if we don't do this last one, all the other ones aren't going to be very helpful. We can hear, we can read, we can study, we can memorize, we can meditate. But obeying the Word is very, very important. It doesn't matter if we do all those things and we don't obey it. The purpose of Scripture is not just to give us a nice book to read. It's to change us. It's for life change. And if that's missing, then all those other disciplines are really pointless. You can go to Bible study every week. You can explain all the deep doctrines of theology. You can explain the hypostatic union of Christ. You can explain superlapsarianism. I can come up with all kinds of big words, but if you're not obeying God's Word, it really doesn't matter that you know all that other stuff. Because if what's stored in your head doesn't change what's in your heart and make us more like Jesus, what good is it? It's to change us. It's to make us. James, I think, wraps it up beautifully for us. James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Let's read this together, actually. Let's start from the beginning. James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Kind of like a Nike moment in spiritual life, isn't it? Do it. We're to do what God gives to us. A promise of blessing. And what God points out to you might be different from me. What He's got you going through and what you're struggling with might be different than mine. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you to be obedient to what God tells you. It's important for obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. If we say we love God but we don't obey, we really need to check that. So we're going to hear, we're going to read, we're going to study, we're going to memorize, we're going to meditate, and we're going to obey. I want you to take your bulletins out. I want you to pull out your little slip there. Here's mine from last week, Abiding in Christ. There were 10 statements that are there, and you were two. The assignment was, one was to take it out and put it in your pocket, right, so that you didn't leave in the chair. I think I only saw one on a chair, and I think I know who it is, and I'll talk to that person after service. But I filled mine out, and I'm going to store all these until we get done the end. I want you to take a look at this one. This one is the spiritual discipline of living in the Word. I regularly read and study my Bible. And if you don't do that, mark one. That's never. That's just the whole point of this, is to help us to figure out where you are. I believe the Bible is God's Word and provides instruction for life, 1 through 5. Mark it down. Okay? I want you to take this right now, fold it. Look at your neighbor and make sure they don't put it on the chair. Put it in your pocket or your Bible or somewhere, and please take it home and fill it in. Okay? Awesome. I hope that you're encouraged to see God's Word as something that it's His love letter to us. He wants you to know how much He loves you. And so would you bow your heads with me? And we're going to pray for our dinner, our lunch as well, so that we can eat it and enjoy. Jesus, I'm so grateful for Your Word. I'm so grateful for the times that I have every morning when I wake up and I'm able to sit there and I'm able to read and think and pray and be challenged by the things that I read, places where I'm not where I need to be. And Lord, You graciously and mercifully point those things out to me, not because You want me to feel bad, but You want me to work at those things. Lord, You remind me of where I'm being faithful so that I can look to You and say, thank You, Lord, that You've given me strength to be faithful. You remind me of things I still need to do so that I can continue to grow. Lord, You remind me of people who don't know how much You love them yet and how much they need to understand the truth of Your Word. So I pray for each of us here at Pompey Community Church, for everyone that's here this morning, that we would do the work of assessing where we are with our time with You and Your Word. And that, Lord, because of our time and our assessment at the end of 6 weeks, we'll be able to pick some areas that we'll just do a little bit more of something to work on the area that You point out. So we love You. We thank You for this morning. We thank You for the time we're going to have now as we gather for our winter fest of some great pies and chili. I pray that You bless this meal to our bodies and that we just have a great time together. So we love You, Jesus.